else out here to help us out. Nevertheless, hey, Lee, get your pencil handy because I'm going to do some business and then I'm going to get back to you about your motorhome. So get a pencil because you're going to need it. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. You'll be hard-pressed to find the level of expertise that Kurt has with his technicians. They've got years of experience of working on domestic import gas and diesel, and their goal is to offer the best services, the affordable prices, and get you back on the road quickly. Kurt, who owns Kurt's Auto, he's located at I-17 and Bell, east side of I-17 on the north side of the road. If you live in that area and you don't have a garage you trust, or perhaps you want to measure your garage against Kurt's, then be my guest. I-17, east side of I-17 on Bell Road, north side of the road. Okay, Lee, your motorhome's going to... I've owned motorhomes all my life. I still own one. I want to tell you something, though, but I don't want you to tell anybody else, okay?
Okay.
All right. You know, I don't like Fords.
Yeah, I knew that already. Okay,
but wait, I got good news.
Okay.
All right, listen. That's the finest motorhome chassis that's ever been built is the F53 chassis that
wow.
you have on that 89. As a matter of fact, the motorhome I have right now, it's a Bounder, and it's on that same chassis.
Wow.
Now, the F53 has the big motor. It has a great transmission. It also has disc brakes all the way around, and it's a really good... Now, the only problem with the F53 is the sway bar bushings. So, the guy I use for sway bar bushings is Dunbar Leaf and Spring. So, if there's a lot of roll as you pull out of a driveway where it shakes everything off of every flat table, then go over and see the guys at Dunbar Leaf and Spring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, your motorhome... Don't tell anybody I said that about Ford either.
Sure.
Okay, the motorhome, if you need mechanical work...
Right.
D&B Auto.
I'm sorry, D or B?
D is in Dan, B is in Betsy Auto.
Okay.
Ian Hugh, Tire and Auto. He's going to handle your tires and your alignment, stuff like that. Ian, I-A-N, Hugh, H-U-G-H, Tire and Auto. Mike's Auto Tech. These are all guys in your area.
Sure.
Mike's Auto Tech is another mechanical guy, and he might be able to handle the interior for you.
Wonderful.
Because he's a jack of all trades. Now, your transmission, you got two guys out there, Adolph's. And Sun Transmission. Two transmission shops, Adolph's in Glendale, and then Sun is in Peoria. If you have to do work on that, you're going to want to step up on the torque converter, and you're going to want to get a three-clutch torque converter instead of the one that you have, and you'll love it, and your gas mileage will increase. If you have to do that. Those guys can handle everything. Now, if you get to something you can't handle, I have something special for you.
Right.
We have a hoist that will lift your motorhome up in the air.
Right.
You bring your safety glasses, you bring your plastic ties, you bring a screwdriver so you can pop all the rocks out of your tires, like everybody else does. You can work underneath that motorhome, but it's going to cost you $104 an hour to sit on that hoist.
Sure.
So if you need something that these guys can't handle, call me. I'll guide you. We do lots of motorhome work, but we're a long ways from you. So if you get something that you're not, or you want a second opinion, then call, make an appointment, bring your coach in. But... we have guys that have us change their oil, but while we're changing their oil and greasing all the zerts and airing up all their tires, they're underneath there and they're tying this wire harness to that and they're clipping this and doing that. And they got red ties and they're doing... And that's okay with us because we know you like it. But you don't want to spend money at $104 an hour. You don't want to spend money popping rocks out of your tires.
Plus right, exactly.
It makes a mess.
Right.
Okay?
Now, the first thing when you talked to me about Camping World, you didn't give me an address on that. Is there more than one? Or
no, there's just one, and it's going to be in Mesa on the 60 between Mesa Drive and Country Club on the south side of the road. I use Camping World a lot. I think they're... Sometimes they say that they're really good at something that they're really not.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, you know, like if you want to buy a new refrigerator and have it installed, I would go there first. But if you need an air conditioning compressor put on, then D&B Auto, Ian Hugh, Mike's Auto Tech, those guys can handle that.
Fantastic. I really appreciate your help.
All righty. Good luck. Thank you.
Thank you, bye.
You bet. And Jim, you're up next, buddy. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark. I wish I could listen to you as often as I would want, but I may be asking a question that's been answered before.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay.
I have a 2010 Hyundai Elantra, and my wife has a 2011 Hyundai Elantra, so you can tell that we like those cars.
Mm-hmm.
The owner's manual says that the oil can be changed every 7,500 miles under normal driving conditions. To us, we're driving 15 miles minimum each way to the office. I'm driving more than that. My mechanic, who I love deeply, is Adam that should be doing it every 3,300 miles, and I just don't see the reason for it. Okay. What is your opinion?
All right. That makes a difference to me. First of all, conventional oil is not designed to go 7,500 miles. You're going to have to step to a name brand semi-synthetic. Now, here's the deal. At many shops, mine included, we only pour semi-synthetic. That's all we pour. So we're going to give you the 5 to 7,500 mile range. Now, it's true that the normal service, okay, the normal service around anywhere in the world is just whatever. Nobody knows what normal service is. What everybody does know is, oh, this is extreme. Arizona's extreme. Hot and cold extremes. Yep. Dirty, dusty. Yep. Hauling a trailer. Probably not on the Elantras. And stop and go. Where isn't stop and go? So I say to you, if you use a semi-synthetic, yes, go to 7,500. But don't do that with a conventional oil, because we have three kinds of oil. Conventional, then we have semi-synthetic, and then we have a full-blown synthetic. The full-blown is going to cost you between $75 and $125 in oil change. You're still going to change it at 7,500 miles. That's crazy. You don't want that. A semi-synthetic from Valvoline or Castrol or some major brand, Shell, those guys are good. So I agree with you. Now, how many miles a year do you and your wife drive?
Well, she probably averages about 10,000 miles a year. And I bought the car in December of the end of 2009. I've got 56,000 miles on her right now, so I'm probably doing a lot more than she is.
Okay. On hers, if she's doing 10, why don't we change her at the beginning of the summer and the beginning of the winter, which is 5,000 on the front, 5,000 on the back?
Okay.
That's a good idea. That's only two a year. Saves you one, for sure. And in his book, it saves you two. On his book, he wants four oil changes a year. And in my book, I want two oil changes a year.
Okay.
And the semi-synthetic's going to run you between $40 and $55. A conventional oil change is going to cost you $30. So you're going to save $10 if you go conventional, but you're going to change it twice as often.
Okay, well, I'm just going to tell them I want semi-synthetics. So they're one of your mechanics anyways. They're great people, so I'm just going to ask them to do that.
And then in your car, if you're going to go more, you could go 7,500 miles an oil change, and if that's 15,000 miles a year, you can do the same thing. The difference being is she's going to have a little less on hers than yours, but I don't want her to go 10 a year unless she's using full synthetic.
Okay.
All righty?
Okay. Hey, Cash, you want another question?
Go right ahead.
Okay. Speaking of my wife's car, she is a very passive driver. I don't think she's ever in her life used her passenger since she's owned it. And I take it out, and you know, I like it to accelerate fast sometimes getting out of the freeway. And the last time I took it out, it was white smoke blowing out of the back of the car. I mean, it was like a fog. And then it went away, and I've never seen it since. Any idea what could cause that?
Yeah, I'll tell you. But you're going to have to wait till after the break because we're 20 seconds away. 602-508-0960 if you want to give us a call and have a car question, you can. 602-508-0960. And by the way, at marksalem.com, we have archives of all the radio shows I've ever done. So you can listen to any radio show you want. They're there minus the commercials. They're there minus the commercials. We'll be right back right after this.
All about that demon, all the mobile.
Well, welcome back, everybody. 10:34 and 4 seconds, and we've got open lines available if you'd like to. I'm going to talk to Jim and finish up with him, but the phone number is 602-508-0960. You won't have to wait long, but give us a call if you have a car question. 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Bob and Ellen at Larry Harker's Auto. Larry Harker's has been in the Valley since 1967. The current owners, Bob and Ellen, have owned and operated Harker's since 1989. Their technicians have been with them for decades and decades. They're a trusted source for quality repairs, great prices. And in the Phoenix area, they're located at 38th Avenue and Indian School. So between Camelback to the north and the 10 to the south, between I-17 and the west side I-101, they hold down that area really, really good. So anywhere in that area, if you're looking for a good shop, try Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School. Okay, Jim, I'm going to put my hat on. I'm going to take my car doctor hat off, and I'm going to take my Dr. Love hat and put on, okay?
Okay. Right.
What you're seeing when you throttled it up hard, when we rattle the engine, and it sounds bad, but it's not bad, when we rattle the engine and we take it up into the high RPMs, it starts to shed carbon. And so what you're seeing is you've rattled the exhaust, you've rattled the catalytic converter, you've rattled the muffler, you've rattled the engine, and that's the reason why it came and went. So, how many years have you been married?
All since 1990.
Okay. All right. That's pretty good. This is what really works well. Just borrow her car, maybe for a day or two or three, and just switch cars with her.
Okay.
Tell her you're going to have it washed or fill it with gas. And that'll give you a chance. And here's where you rattle it good, is when you're getting on the freeway. You turn right, and if the entrance ramp is clear and there's no light at the bottom of it, you look around, there's nobody there, just go ahead and give her hail. And just rattle it good through the gears. It'll shift itself. And do that once or twice, and you'll be fine. Now, if you really want to endear yourself to her, change all of her radio presets and her seat presets.
Okay.
And then you're in tall cotton at that point.
Well, I guess I'm missing something here. I mean, are you saying that it's good to occasionally blow that carbon out of the engine?
Oh, absolutely. I got to tell you something. That happens in my life 2 times a week. 2 times a week, we get somebody in who's, I mean, I have customers that have been with me for 30 years. I've got Mrs. Wagner who has she's not driving anymore, but she has a customer number of 7, and I'm at 36,000. So every once in a while, they'll come in, and we'll go drive it, and the idle quality won't be the greatest, and you just kind of know. So we take it over to the freeway because we're right around the corner from I-10, and we dump the throttle. And I mean, if you look like James Bond that's throwing a smoke screen out, you know that you're going to have to get off at the next 2 exits and throttle it again. But it doesn't hurt it. What you don't want to do is stick it in first gear manually, and you shift it to second. You let the computer shift it with wide open throttle. And it'll be just fine. And you can't take a horse out of a barn and expect it to run the Kentucky Derby without some, you know, you have to do a little bit of work with him. It's the same way with your car. You have to treat the car with respect, and you have to maintain it appropriately. But the car is designed to run wide open throttle for some period of time. And otherwise, if they're going to warranty it and they know their car won't go wide open throttle, then they'll just tell the computer to shut the fuel off on you. That doesn't happen. It'll happen at 104 miles an hour on your Hyundai's, or maybe 98, but the idea is it's not going to hurt it at all.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm glad that you have your show in an audio archive, because I'm going to download it and play this segment for her.
Okay, that'd be good. Okay. All righty. Thank you very much.
Okay, all right. Okay.
We've got open lines available. If you'd like to join us, 602-508-0960. Parts, pricing at the auto repair arena. Starting from and not necessarily in any order. Let's start at the bottom. We're going to start anywhere. We're just going to throw it out there. We have independent car repair shops. And then we have specialty shops that just do mufflers, just do tires, just do front ends, just do exhaust. Then we have chain stores. And then we have dealers. So we have you have those varieties to that you certainly can use. Before this crunch, I think the economic gurus say that we hit the bottom in 2005 in August of or 2009 in August of 2009. In reality, since the 2007, our economy's been in turmoil. Before that, you could pretty much guess that you could call 4 or 5 places on the same part, and the variation would be less than
10%. Mark is next.
The fact of the matter is that's all out the window. Now, I've been an advocate of throwing away list price. List price is what the customer should pay for years and years and years. Throw it away. Make us do a better job being business people. Let us earn a deep discount by paying our bills on time and not having you support us. And then that way we can buy better and we can charge less than our competitor because we buy better. So if I want to make 30% on a part, and he doesn't buy as low as I do, then he has to mark it up even more. So right now, it is wide open. It's the Wild West. And when we come back, I'm going to give you some examples. And Mark, you're going to be next. Anybody else? 602-508-0960. Mark, you'll be next. And anybody else? But we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to take your call. 602-508-0960.
Hot. Most Friday night.
Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. We're going to be here till noon, so you got plenty of time to call in. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing in Mesa. Thompson's Auto Repair is family-owned and been operating since 1970. They're equipped to handle anything that you need, even including motorhomes, and they do have a towing company as well, so they understand your vehicle is a major investment, and they're going to care for your vehicle as if it was their own. Brian and Thelma run Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing on Mesa. They're on Main Street just east of Stapley. Main Street just east of Stapley. And you couldn't do business with a finer husband and wife than Brian and Thelma. All righty, back to the phones. Mark, you're up first, buddy. How can I help you?
Thanks, Mark. Love your show. I've got a Hyundai Sonata. I bought new in 2003. I put a lot of miles on it. Now I have 208,000 miles on it. And it's been a great car for me. I'm wondering about how often I change my transmission fluid and do a where do you like in the East Valley, and should I be changing it like they used to do where they drop a pan and do all that, or is there another way that sometimes it seems like I go into these loop shops and they tell me, oh, we have some other fancy way of flushing it out.
Okay.
Flushing it out.
What's the interval you've been using up till this 208,000 miles?
Well, you know, intermittent.
Okay, all right.
Sorry.
I need to know what your owner's manual says, but I'm going to give you a parameter I can live with because your car is a good car, 60,000 miles. And
okay.
Here's what I say. I say you do the filter, and then the next 60 you do the flush, because the filter's only going to get 3 or 4 of the 10 or 12 quarts, but the flush is going to get all of them. I don't need to do the filter every time, and the cost on both of them is pretty much the same. An automatic transmission service, pull the pan, put a new filter, put a new gasket, put 3 or 4 quarts back in, is about $150. If you flush the transmission, it's about $147. So they're going to cost you the same. However, with a flush, we're going to use 20 quarts of fluid, and we're going to run fluid in there under high pressure until it cleans up on the exit side. So we're truly going to change every bit of fluid. So that's what I do. 60 in, 60 out, and I do the flush, then the filter. Okay?
So separated each time. Can I ask you one more thing?
Yes, sir.
So it's always been a great car, but there's certain noises that come out of, like, the different tires. Like, now it seems like the back tire makes little clanky noises. I don't know if it's suspension or what. Where would you think a good place to go in the East Valley would be to look at something like that?
Okay, well, here's what I want you to do first. To go to the East Valley, just go to marksalem.com, click on Best Car Repair Shops, okay?
All right.
And then you can pick East Valley. You can pick Scottsdale, Mesa, Tempe. You can pick Chandler, whatever you want. But let me tell you this. A suspension shift is probably what you have. So here's what I want you to do. You're at a stop, and you're playing at the back of Bashes, okay? You're not on the road or anything. And you're gonna kind of throttle up hard, and then you're going to come to a real gentle stop, and then throttle up hard and come to a real gentle stop. Now, when I throttle you up hard, I'm shifting everything backwards, but I want you to come to a gentle stop because I don't want it to shift forward. I want to know if the noise is duplicatable then. Then I want you to do it the other way around. I want you to take off gently, and I want you to come to an abrupt stop.
Okay.
And if you say, Mark, I can make it happen when I do this or do this, and I want you to change directions. I want you to do two, accelerate slowly and brake harshly in a row, and then I want you to back up and do the same thing.
Okay.
And if you say to me, Mark, I can make that clunk happen, I'll put it in drive, and I'll take off kind of hard and gently brake, and it'll clunk then, and then I put it in reverse, and I kind of jackrabbit backwards, and it'll clunk again. Bingo, bingo. We know we've got a bushing out of the front suspension to the rear, and the only thing we've got to do is figure out where. And that's easy. But if you can show us how to do it, you save yourself $50 right off the bat, because we're not going to have to take it out and figure that out for ourselves. That's
okay.
What you need, okay? And by the way, the last question you should have asked me is how many more miles do I have on this car?
That's what I wanted to ask next.
Okay.
And is there a time when you say, you know what, I'm putting good money after bad?
No, your maintenance cannot cost more than $3,000 a year, which is less than $300 a month. When it starts costing you more than that, you got to get rid of it. But in your case, the beginning of the end is when the engine starts consuming oil. When it starts consuming oil and you start having to feed the engine oil, it's time to bail.
Okay.
All right. But other than that, if I took the car and I said to you, hey, you pay me $300 a month and I'm going to take care of all your maintenance, you'd say, whew. Me, my transmission? Yep. Your engine? Yep. Air conditioning unit? Yep. $300 a month. I'm going to win. You're going to lose. And you can't rent a car for $300 a month.
So
the idea is when you get over $300 a month, you need to start looking. But under $300, I mean, I'm at $188 a month on my truck right now. And it's a one-ton four-wheel drive.
Wow.
I mean, I'm hitting a home run. It's a 2005. What I paid for it, what it's worth today, divided by the months I've had, it's $188. My deal is when I get below $150, I'll get myself a new truck because that one's worn out. So that's how I do it. Thank you very much, Mark. I appreciate you calling. Thank you, thank you. Bob, you're up next. How can I help you? Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob.
Bob, Bob, Bob. He dropped. Tom.
Tom, let's go to Tom. Tom, how are you? What can we do for you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
You 2 weeks ago, you was talking about gas and additives.
Okay.
Would you go a little more in depth on that? Is the Exxon Mobil gasoline worth the difference between that and the Arco and Quick Grip and Circle K?
Okay. The Quick Trip has, and there's others that have that gasoline with twice or three times the detergent. Okay? And I can't remember what the name of it is, but it'll come to me in a minute. That is something that I think people should look at, because that's an additive. It's a detergent. Now, I want to tell you something. In a full tank of gas, you might get one drop of detergent, and I understand now you're going to get 10 drops of detergent or something like that. So it's an increased amount of detergent, and we know that won't hurt your car. With respect to gasoline, I'm going to tell you my best story. Back in the 70s, I used to run a gas station. It was a Mobil. And during the 70s, if you'll remember, we had a gas crunch, late 79, 80. So that time we were using tankways, Calzona tankways, to bring gasoline from the West Coast to Phoenix. So the guy would pull up, and he had 9,000 gallons of unleaded. He'd dump it into my underground tank, and then he'd look around, and he'd walk. The true story, I swear to you. Walks over, picks up a 5-gallon bucket that's 2/3 full of a white liquid. He looks around. He puts a funnel into the tank. And I said, "What's that?" And he goes, "Now you got Mobil." Okay? So I'm going to ask you a question. How many of those drops did you get when you filled up your car? Okay? In 9,000 gallons?
Very few.
All right, so here's a better question. Mark, do you care where you buy gas? The answer is, for my gasoline cars, no, I don't. I get the cheapest gas, and I have an app on my phone that says, where's the cheapest gas? I go get it. My diesel, same thing, cheapest I can find. I don't see a benefit. Now, if I have water in my gas, I'm going to use an alcohol ethanol-based gasoline additive, because alcohol absorbs 40 times its weight in water. If I have an injector problem that I think is an injector, I might use an injector cleaner in my tank to see if I can make it better, worse, or the same. Part of good diagnosis is just exactly that, because if it is an injector and I put some gasoline additive in it, it'll either get better or it'll get worse. But if it stays the same, it's probably not an injector. So that's, I use it for diagnostic purposes, but if you think that you're going to put something in your gas tank and your car's going to love you and the air conditioning compressor's not going to fail, you got another thing coming. So I don't want you to put anything in your car because you think it'll love you, okay?
Right, you Thank you.
All righty. Jody, you're up next. Jody, how can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. I have a 04 Dodge 3500 with Cummins, and the front differential, it's four-wheel drive. I've got a little bit of a leak on the input shaft, and then I also discovered that I don't have posi in the rear, and I've found a factory American Axle, you know, limited slip unit that I'm hoping to buy and get someone to install.
Okay.
I called Quality Transmission about the leak, and they say they don't do any differential work. Okay. I know they're your preferred East Valley tranny shop.
Yeah.
Who would you recommend for differential work?
I want you to call Automatic Transmission Exchange and talk to Phil. Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th Street in Washington, and talk to Phil.
Okay.
When you're confusing me here, the input shaft on the front differential is really the pinion yoke. That's where the drive shaft enters the differential. Is that where your leak is at?
Yes.
Okay. How many miles are on that truck?
128.
Okay. They're going to be a little scared about just doing a seal, because there's a bushing and there's two or three bearings that support the pinion. So the question is if one of those bearings is bad, I can put seals in until you and I are 150 years old.
Yeah.
And it ain't going to work, because the seal's going to waller out and it's going to leak. So that so you can say to them, Phil, if I just have you pull the yoke off and just replace the seal, how much is that? And then you say, Phil, I understand it's a guess, and I understand it may or may not work, but I'd like to try that. And I won't hold you responsible because it's $130 and I'll just eat it. You could say that if you want it. But he's going to say that to you. He's going to say to you, I'm willing to do the seal, but you need to know that really and truly, I should pull the back off this differential. I should pull the entire third member out. I should pull that pinion out. I should replace both front and rear seals, and it could have front and rear bearings, and it could have three bearings. Put it back in, and then I'll guarantee it won't leak. So you got to kind of niffy here. I think it's worth the gamble to just have him do the pinion seal, the front pinion seal. Now, you got to make sure it's not overfilled with fluid, because if it's overfilled with fluid, it'll leak out there. So all you got to do is drop the fluid level to the appropriate amount, and this leak stops.
No, I serviced it. I thought it was leaking at the from the front cover, and after I serviced it, I realized that it's a seal. But I did call a differential shop in Mesa, and they said that you have to partially remove one of the drive axles to get to that seal, which made no sense to me.
I don't understand that either. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, and they could be smarter than me, and there's a lot of them out there that are smarter than me, but I don't understand that. The yoke is bolted onto the pinion with a big old nut, and I'm going to hammer that off, and I'm going to pull the yoke, and I'm going to pop the seal and put a new one in, but I don't know the answer to that. Somebody has to look at it. So, and let me talk to you about that rear posi. About that rear posi real quick. The rear posi traction is a very good thing, because right now you really have four-wheel drive, but you really only have two-wheel drive because you only got one rear and one front. So you're only in a two-wheel drive and a four-wheel drive. It's a good idea to put a posi in there. One of the things that you want to do is call around and find out. You said you had an 04, so find out a posi rear end in 04, how many years did that come with a 3500? And you don't need to know if you're 373, 411 gears, or 456 gears. So once you find out what the gear ratio is, then you call to the wrecking yards, and what happens if the guy says to you, that differential covers 5 years? That same part number covers 5 years, and I have a 2008 with 12,000 miles on it that's a locking differential, and I'll sell it to you for $1,200. Why wouldn't you take that? You see my point?
Because I can get, for about $300, I can get the limited slip unit from an 06 truck, which is, from what I understand, the same axle from 04 on. And I don't know what it costs to install.
Bingo. Yeah. See, the risk and reward on differentials is huge. The reward is small, the risk is huge. All of us know that. We're not going to let you skin us. We're going to say, I've got to dial up the installation on that third member enough to cover that third member if we don't set it up right. Because it takes a very specific guy. I want to tell you something. I'm not your guy. I got two that are, but I'm not your guy. Uh-huh. But I got two kids that do that all the time. But the idea is that there's a huge risk. It may cost you as much as $800 to pull that third member and change it out. Both axles have to come out. And they don't have to come out. They don't have to come out far. But to set up a third member and a new ring and pinion and slide that carrier to the left and to the right to get the tooth pattern perfectly is very time consuming. You might have to do it 10 times. But the idea is the risk is huge. So just explore all the options. All the options. All righty, when we come back, Tom or Jody, thank you very much. And Charles, I didn't get to you, and I really tried hard, but I've got less than a minute, so I would like it very much if you'd set down your phone, go get a cup of coffee or iced tea, and I'll meet you back here at 4 minutes after. I got to do about 10 seconds worth of stuff, and at 4:30 after the hour, I'm going to take you first. So, Charles, anybody else, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We have another hour, so we can talk about cars as much and as long as you want. My job is to give you good advice. I'm not going to point you in any direction unless you ask me, but I'm just going to give you good advice to save you money and to tell you what you need to watch out for with respect to our industry. I'm also going to tell you that the part that I wanted to talk about with respect to pricing, the low estimate was $1,900 and the high estimate was $3,200. And I'm telling you right now, I was bidding apples for apples and oranges for oranges. $19 to $32. That's a big difference.
And settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem. 4 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock, we've got another hour of fun and fun here about your car questions. And all you have to do is call us, 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission in Tempe. We just had a caller tell us that they called Quality, and he said, I don't do that kind of work. I suggest to you that that's exactly what you want to hear from a good, honest shop. He's telling you, I'm not the best guy for that work. He's telling you that, as opposed to taking some kid with three whiskers and putting him on your car and making a mess of it. So I suggest to you that Quality Transmission, again and again and again, has proven to me and others that they are honest and have your interest in front of their own checkbook. Quality Transmission is located on McClintock, north of University in Tempe, and he's who I send people to all the time. Mark, you're up, buddy. It's Charles. Charles, you're up, buddy. Thank you for holding.
Hi. I have a strange vehicle. I have a 30-passenger school bus. It's on a Ford chassis. That's a B500 chassis, if I recall correctly. Now, my problem is auto glass. I have to fix the driver's side window. It's a split windshield. And I find that most people who just handle ordinary automobiles are reluctant to work on it. So what I need is somebody who can work on larger vehicles to fix windshield glass.
Okay, I can tell you. I can help you with that. I want you to call Camping World. And I want you to ask them what glass company they use, because your bus falls into the category of a big RV.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys, here's the issue. If I break a windshield putting it in your 94 Lumina, I might be out $150. If I drop Mark's windshield on his motorhome, I'm out $1,200. So that's the issue. It's risk and reward. The buses and the RVs and stuff like that, the glass is really expensive. So nobody wants to mess with it. And you say to them, not only do I want you, depending on what year is the school bus?
It was 1970.
Okay. You might want to say to him, when you order this from Bluebird or whatever your bus name is, I want you to order the molding around it, the rubber molding that holds the window in. He's going to love you for that. Because the hardest part he has is he didn't get the molding because you didn't say anything about it. He puts the new windshield in the old molding, and when he's done, it leaks water like a sieve. So say to him, I want the glass and the molding replaced. Here's the VIN number. Here's the model number. Here's the year, make, and model of my school bus that's made by Bluebird. Is that what you need? He's going to say, yeah. Now, if you'll email me at mark@marksalem.com, mark@marksalem.com, I'll give you a guy that I use to do my motorhome windows and my customers' motorhome windows. I'm very happy with him, but I'm in studio, and his name and address and phone number is in my office. So I don't have access.
The glass is flat, luckily. There's no curves in the glass or anything. It's just a plain, zack, flat, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that'll be easy, but the question is it got the cellophane in between it like a windshield, or is it a safety glass that just shatters and falls on the ground? He'll probably ask you to look in the corner of the glass and give him the information in one of the corners of the glass, so maybe he can cut you a piece. That might be the option. So
it was made by Ward, if that's important.
That's the coach, right?
Yeah, that's the coach manufacturer.
Okay.
They're in Arkansas.
Okay. Well, and you can call the coach manufacturer. I don't want you to really do this, but it's an option. Call the coach manufacturer. They're going to be able to tell you what the window is. They might even be able to ship you the window and the molding, and then you hire somebody to install it. The problem with that is if he breaks it, he's going to say it's your window. So you might want to say to him, you order it. I want to buy it from you, and it's okay if you mark it up. And you already know what it's going to cost anyway, so if he marks it up 10 or 20%, that's just an insurance policy to determine who's going to pay for it if it doesn't go well.
Yeah, I think I've got a phone number for Camping World someplace.
Okay, it's over in Mesa, so just Google Camping World Mesa, Arizona, and you'll have it. Alrighty?
Alrighty.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you very much. We were talking a few minutes ago, and I'm going to get to you, William, just a second. 602-508-0960 if you'd like to join us. If you have a car question, 602-508-0960. Okay, I had the opportunity to have three part numbers and the labor to effect a particular repair. This just happened to be because the part numbers were from the dealership, I was focused on them. I called them. One of them bid the job, and this is three parts plus the labor at $1,900. $1,924.87. The high guy bid it, apples for apples, for $3,287 for a grand total difference of $1,200. I suggest to you that there are times where you can make a lot of money by just simply thinking about this. All right, let's say you had to tow the car from one place to another. Okay, so $150. Would you spend $150 to save $1,200 if you knew that? Another thing you want to do is on the estimate, you want to ask them specifically what parts you have. Because if the estimate's over $300, $400, $500, you probably ought to bid it. Bottom line is on most estimates, you're probably in the $500 range, you might get 20%, sometimes maybe 30%. 30% is $150. That's a lot of money. But when you get up in the $1,000, $2,000, and $3,000, 30% is a whole lot of money. A lady the other day called around, and she told me that it took her 45 minutes to identify the parts and to call around, and she saved herself $300. She says, Mark, I've never been paid $300 an hour for my work. And I applaud her because that's what it's all about. It's okay if you say specifically what parts are you going to put in my car. Specifically what the labor is and how much am I going to write my check for. Okay, I'll get back to you. Call a couple of other shops and say, I have this kind of car and they say the alternator's bad and they say the alternator's an 80 amp. And so I would like for you to look up the labor and look up the part. And let me give you my phone number. And would you call me back or can you call me back today? Yes, I can. Okay, well, thank you. Here's my name. I'm right around the corner from you. Okay, thank you. And you can't do that at my shop because, folks, you got to know that we get hundreds of those kinds of calls. I could put somebody on full-time doing nothing but checking estimates. I can't do that. That's not income-producing for me. So I can't do that. So don't call me. But call the shops in the geographical area you're around. Or send them an email. Those are the important things. But the big difference between this is kind of odd because one part was $133 and then the other dealer bid it at $240. That's a $100 difference. The labor, it was difference between $1,000 and $1,250. The other part, the low was $236 and the high was $331. That's $100. That's 30% difference. So it's not really worth it for $50 or $60, but folks, when you get into those big estimates, take a few minutes, because if you don't pay yourself $100 an hour for your time, then I'm all wrong. I'm all wet. And I've been around long enough to know that you will save yourself some money. Just bid it appropriately. You have to know what they're doing. You can't call and say, my car died installed and they said they're going to fix it for $300. That ain't going to work. I don't care about the symptoms. They said they were going to replace this, and they said they were going to replace this, the air conditioning compressor, and the dryer, and the orifice tube, whatever that is. They were going to replace all that. They were going to evacuate and recharge it, and that's all my car needed. And their bill was $1,200. Can you bid that for me, or would you bid that for me? Thank you very much. He already knows you have to be. He has to be $1,200. If he beats it by $100, the 15 or 20 minutes that you were on the phone, You got paid hundreds of dollars an hour. So that's important. All righty. Let's see what else I've got on my list of things that I need to do. Here's something that's important. In 1988, when I was on radio at another station, which I was there for like 20 years, the idea is that the number one question I was asked was, where are you at? That's what they'd say to me. Where's your shop? And I would say to them, I don't think that's a good question. Let me change your question. Do you know anybody in North Scottsdale? And I'm going to say to you, if you want to come to my shop from North Scottsdale, you're going to pass 10 good shops. Let me guide you. Well, that was a really easy way to do it. So then I decided I'll just put together a list because it's going to be easier. And then in 1990, we put a website together and all of a sudden, bingo, we're up and running. This is not an income stream for me. It's not. This doesn't put food on my table. This is my golf game every Saturday. That's what it is for me.
William is next.
So when you look at it, and William, you hang on just a second, William. When you look at it, and you look at all the other guys that are now doing what I did in 1988, AAA, Angie's List, Dex, GarageFly, Great Garage, Kudzu, NARPRO, RepairPal, 2Fixit, Yan, and Yelp. They all do what I do. Referral networks, but this is what they all say. They say you use these people at your own risk. You use third-party sites at your own risk. We do not guarantee the services, the repairs, or the products they provide. How does that make you feel? So I'm going to tell you he's the best guy in town for your plumbing, but if he takes you to the cleaners and he burns your house down, you're on your own. But I don't say that. This is what I say. I've got $5,000, which I've never paid, by the way, $5,000 sitting there that says if the Better Business Bureau tells a shop of mine to fix your car or give you a refund, and the shop does not, I will step forward and repair your car personally up to $5,000, or I will refund you money up to $5,000. And you know what? It's never happened. I started off at $100, and then I went to $500, and my wife says, come on, put on your big boy pants. And I said, okie dokie. And so I raised it to $5,000. Here's the deal. These guys have been with me for 20, 30 years. They're not going to feed me to the wolves. They're going to make you happy. And I'm proud to tell you, we've never even been to arbitration at the Better Business Bureau. Never. And arbitration is the step before I get involved. So we've never even been there. They've made customers happy, or they've made the Better Business Bureau happy with their offer, and perhaps the customer, the Better Business Bureau, thought the customer was being unreasonable, so therefore the Better Business Bureau closed the complaint by saying, we think this was a reasonable offer, and you'd rejected it, so we're going to close the case. That's happened maybe once a year. And all of you in business, you know that that's going to happen at your place too. So, okay, William, you're going to be my next caller, buddy. I got to take a break, but I promise you're going to be the next caller within 15 seconds after I take the mic here, and we're going to take a break at 17. We'll be back at about 20, somewhere around there, and you're my very first caller. And if anybody else wants to join us, me and William, you can, 602-508-0960. Don't forget, car repair is all about symptoms. It's all about is your fix a guess or a fix? It's all about, I want my old parts back. It's all about making sure I know what the final cost is. And it's all about paying with a credit card. Those are the steps to success. They protect you. You should learn those. Symptoms. Ask for your old parts back. Is this a fix or a guess? And pay with a credit card. Welcome back, everybody. It's 21 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. The name of this show is Under the Hood here on the Patriot KKNT on 960 on your AM dial. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by my buddy, Tom at Action Auto. He's located at I-17 and Deer Valley Road, and he's been around since 1983. I like him. He's a family-owned business. He prides himself on good repairs and reasonable prices. He uses the factory recommended intervals for maintenance services they perform. What he's telling you is he's not making them up like others are susceptible to doing. He doesn't make those up to benefit him. They use factory recommended maintenance. They have ASE Master Certified Technicians. They get the job done right. And they have an A-plus rating at the Better Business Bureau. So I-17 in Deer Valley, anywhere within a 5-mile radius, if you're looking for a good repair shop, Action Auto, and talk to Tom. And just like I promised, William, thank you for holding, buddy. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for asking.
Thank you so much in advance for your information. Two questions. I have an 07 Buick Lucerne. Love the car. It's a 3.8 V6. The problem I have, number one, is that oil consumption. The car only has 37,000 miles on it. It's, I mean, very easy miles. We're retired. And anyhow, the check engine oil light came on, which I have the oil changed every 3,500 miles. Okay. Use Valvoline oil. It's a multi-blend recommended for the engine 5W30. And anyhow, I checked the engine oil, and it's down about a quart and a half.
Okay, now that quart and a half means it's down below the ad mark, right?
Well, it has the four little holes in the dipstick, so it's really kind of hard to tell. Okay. I put in about, I'd say, maybe a quart and a quarter, quart and a half.
Okay. Well, I want you to identify those marks on the stick first, because you don't add oil till it hits the low mark, and I think the zero is the very bottom. So you don't add oil till it hits the low mark.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I want you to look at your dipstick in your owner's manual, but I'm pretty sure I'm telling you the truth.
Okay.
That each one of those has something to do with it, and I think the top hole is going to be the full, and the bottom is going to be the add. But those other two holes, I don't even know why they put them in there. All they do is confuse people. But I don't want you to add oil to the bottom. Now let me address your oil real quick, and then I'm going to give you your second question. We need to find out where it's going. We need to find out if it's leaking externally.
Turn.
We need to find out if it's the intake manifold. One of the things that I would do is I'd pull all the spark plugs out of it because that would tell me which cylinders are using the oil. Now, if they're all using the oil, we're in trouble. However, at 37,000 miles, that's not going to be the case. What happens if it's the two back cylinders on the driver's side of that V6? That tells me we're sucking oil into those two back cylinders. So the question now becomes, where? Well, the answer is the only place it can come is from the intake gasket. So maybe I need to check the intake gasket. Oh, look here. I add a little propane right here, and yeah, the motor speeds up. But I add it over here, and it doesn't. It doesn't over here. It doesn't over here. It doesn't over here. But here it does. Oh, and let's look here. I'm going to go ahead and air that cylinder up. And you know what? When I take the oil cap off and I put air into that cylinder, and I got the intake valve open, all of a sudden I can hear air coming out of the oil filler. And when I rotate the engine around and close the intake valve, the air goes away. I'll be darned. Now, what I've just described to you is 2 hours worth of work, but that's the diagnostic process. We have to find out where is it going and which cylinders are affected.
I mean, that's my concern. I used to be a mechanic years ago with new cars. I'm retired, and I have no idea. But here is something you should tell your listeners. I've called the Buick dealership where we bought it from, talked to the service manager or consultant that we've always use, who they've been very nice, and he was telling me when I first asked him about this problem, he said with the new center oils, being, you know, obviously this is synthetic blend that I'm using, he's telling me that is a common practice.
Okay, hold on. I could finish this story for you. If you dive deeper into it, they're going to tell you that the minimum acceptable standard is a quart every 500 miles or a quart every 750 miles.
He said 2,500.
Okay. Well, then I'm wrong about him. But when I hear that, and I hear that a lot, I say to them, I look them in the eye and I say, you know, you should have told me that before I bought this car.
Mm-hmm.
You should have told me what your minimum oil standard is because that's ridiculous.
So I could not agree more. It's the only car. I love the car. It is the only car in my first V6, quite frankly, front-wheel drive car. And anyhow, I'm going, wait a minute. I mean, I've been a mechanic. I've had years. I've always worked my vehicles. I've never had a car that used oil.
Well, now, wait a minute, though. Every car's a quart low. At 3,000 miles or 3,500. Mine is, and everybody else's I check. Here's the issue. The issue is you need to do what we call an oil consumption test.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you.
Okay.
I mean, where
are you
going
to do that?
It's not leaking. There is no leaks whatsoever. It's garage.
You have to put on your listening ears like Judge Judy. I hate her. You know that? I hate that Judge Judy lady.
I do too.
Here's the deal. You need to get it right at the full mark, okay? At the full mark. And then you need to write down the date and the mileage.
Yep.
And then you need every week to draw that dipstick. And you need to put a dash and say the oil was here at this miles at this day. The oil was here at this mile at this date. You hand them that. Now, if it comes back that you're really using a quart every 2,500 miles, you don't have a leg to stand on as far as I'm concerned. But if you truly are using a quart every 500, 600, 700, then you're showing them what they're going to ask you to do anyway. So let's step in front of the stupid line and let's go ahead and do the oil consumption problem. And you're going to hand them this drawing of a dipstick and you're going to have the four holes in it and you're going to have mimeograph. That's how
sure.
I am.
Yep.
Copy a picture of the dipstick in your owner's manual and attach it to it and say, boom, there I am. And you can see right there at 780 miles, I'm at the add mark. How is it that I went from full to the add mark in 780 miles? Here's my keys. That's totally unacceptable. You should have told me that at the beginning. Here's my keys. See you later. You take care of it because I'm still in warranty. So you got a second question.
Unfortunately, because of the age of the vehicle, not the mileage, I'm out of warranty.
But you can still ask for financial consideration. I had a 2005 or 2006 car the other day that got a pad camshaft, and General Motors, actually Henry Brown, He offered them a 40-60 split, and the bill was $3,000. And the customer had no right to really demand anything.
No.
But the customer went in there really nice and said, would you just look at some kind of a financial assistance because I've owned 17 cars from your dealership, blah, 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 blah. And they came back and said 60-40 split. And
yep,
the customer...
A reasonable offer.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So you got nothing to lose by asking that. But somebody has to diagnose it, but you need to do the oil consumption first. Now, you had a second question. Let's get to that.
Yeah, just one more thing back on the oil. Okay, so just for all your listeners, is that with the synthetic oil or pure synthetic or synthetic blend, oil consumption is not an issue.
Well, no, it's no different. Here's the deal. Conventional oil, pull a bunch of coins out of your pocket, okay?
Yep.
You got pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters, right?
Yep.
Throw them on the table. Those are the molecules of a conventional oil.
Yes.
If you throw the molecules of a semi-synthetic, then it's going to be a little blend, but a full synthetic, they're all going to be nickels.
Right.
So tell me how it is that we're going to use more oil with a synthetic blend, which is a wives' tale that's been perpetuated since Mobil 1 came out in the 70s, is once you use synthetic, you can never go back. That's BS. And you're going to use more oil with synthetic than you did before. That's BS.
Well,
basically,
I had a new Chrysler LeBaron many years ago that I changed to Mobil 1, brand new car, and it started leaking oil like a sieve, and I could actually, going up a grade, hear the bearings.
Okay. Well, Mobil in the 70s and the 80s had that problem because what they did was is they didn't have a chemical to swell the seals up a little bit. Well, when they gave you that, then you had old seals and they were rock hard, so therefore you leaked oil. But what they put the elastomerics in there, which is what causes the seals to swell up, bingo, 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 we're back in business. So if you have any other questions, I got to get to Art, okay?
The question is...
Okay, no, but I got to take you down right now because I got to take a break and we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem. We're having a lot of fun, and I know you're all waiting to call in now because the show's just about over with. We're going to go between now and 58 minutes after the hour, so now's the time to call. You always do, 602-508-0960. And we've got William with one more question, then Art. Thank you, Art. Anyway, William, give me that last one, buddy.
Okay, the last one is we have the auto air temperature dual control scenario. Anyhow, the wife has noticed that just recently that the air conditioning is not coming on, and she had to get it down to 62 degrees before it would come on, okay, as far as dialing down the temperature. Sensor problem?
No, it's the weather. When we're in the 70s,
yep,
we run into this problem because there's two temperatures the computer's looking at. One's inside the car and one's outside the car.
Okay.
And the problem is when, and here's what I tell people, if you think there's a problem, I want you to go to the extremes. Go to 60 on the cold side, see if it blows cold air, and then immediately go to the 80 or 90 degree and see if it blows hot air. If that's the case, it's simply the weather. And when we transition from winter to spring and when we transition from summer to fall, we have these kinds of issues. And tell her, anyway, she's not a true woman when she's running her air conditioning at 62 anyway, because every one of them wants it hot.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel, you talk to her. Thank you, William. Thank you very much. Art, you're up next, buddy. How can I help you?
Yeah, like I said, we're snowbirds, and I've heard various stories on what I'm supposed to do with the car we're going to leave down here with the battery, and I'm wondering, what should I do? We have it's in a garage,
okay,
but it gets hot. We do have a house watcher that comes two times a month, and say he said he would start the car and run it for about 5 minutes, but I don't know what to do with,
okay,
the battery. Or
do you get the Arizona Republic by chance?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the Community Living magazine, I write a column,
mm-hmm,
and I address that this week, but I'm going to give it to you anyway.
Okay.
First of all, it's a bad idea to start it and let it run for 5 minutes, and here's why. I'm going to talk as fast as I can. The idea is that every time you start it up and warm the car up for any length of time at all, we create moisture inside the engine. And mm-hmm, then when you shut the car off, the moisture condenses to a liquid, and now we have a tablespoon of water with the oil, and water and oil equals sludge. The only way to get that water out is to get the motor up to 212 degrees, actually 220, which is where a normal car runs today. At 220, we're going to boil the water out, suck it through the PCV valve, and send it out the tailpipe. If he starts it up and lets it run for 5 minutes and shuts it off, he's not doing anything but bad. He's
okay.
Going to start it up, create water, and then it's not going to boil out. And when you get there, you're going to have a lot more water than oil, and I'm exaggerating, obviously, but
okay,
that's a bad deal. Okay, first of all, you want to make sure that you warm up your car good. This is when you're going to park it. You're going to warm it up good, and you're going to drive it for about 10 miles or so, and then you're going to pull in and have the oil and filter changed.
Okay.
When they're done, they're going to, and this is written here, and if you'll email me, I'll write it and give it to you. Make sure all the tires are inflated to the maximum, which is written on the side of the tire.
Okay.
All the fluids should be topped off and checked, and this is normal on an oil change. You're not asking for anything excessive. Then you leave there and you fill it with gas. You park it on four squares of plywood, 12 inches by 12 inches by about a half an inch thick. I want to insulate the tire from the hot concrete. Then I want you, and you have to do it in this order, otherwise you'll see why. You roll up all the windows, you pop the hood, you get out, you lock the doors, and then you pull the negative cable from the battery, shut the hood, and leave it alone.
Okay.
It'll be fine when you get back. Now, I'm having you get out, pop the hood, get out, and lock the doors, because I don't want you to have to go back in after you pull the cable, because you're not going to be able to lock the doors without manually going around. So there's I want to tell you, now my wife actually looked at this and she said to me, you can't do it this way because you got to do it this way. And I said to her, oh, I hate that. And she's sitting right next to me. Thank you very much for cleaning up my articles.
Oh, you're welcome.
40 years of bliss with this woman. I'm telling you, Art, there is just nothing here. 40 years, is it bliss?
Oh, yeah, bliss.
I got 43 years of it.
Really?
See? Was she your high school sweetheart?
No.
Okay. Renee was 6 when I married her. We were originally from Arkansas, and she was 6.
Right. See, I have to come in and make sure you're telling them right stuff, too. And I have to clean up after you all the time.
What word do you use to describe me?
Yeah, you're pretty ornery, I know.
Okay.
One minute.
All righty.
And an aggravator.
And an aggravator, too. All righty. Art, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And anybody else that missed the deadline, well, we actually have another segment here, so you're still welcome to call in, 602-508-0960. And, Joe, you're going to be next, so you stay right there, 602-508-0960. And my wife's going to help me with the last segment. And, honey, just before you came in, we were talking about when we take your car to have it fill up with gas and drive it and kind of decarbonize it. It's a good idea because women really love this when we change all your presets on your radio. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. That and the seats and all that stuff.
Oh, so you agree?
Crazy.
See,
yeah.
that's what I'm saying. I'm putting on my Dr. Love hat, you know, that marriage counselor kind of hat.
Yeah.
And I told him I was putting that on as opposed to my car mechanic hat. But you'll have to tell him I do well in both arenas.
Oh, I wouldn't agree with that.
All right, you guys, we'll be back, and we're going to be out here right now, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Mike Gallagher.
Well, welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and just like I promised, we're going to go to Joe. If you'd like to join us, we've got a line or two open, 602-508-0960, if you have a car question. But, Joe, you're first, and thank you for holding through the break. How can I help you?
Thank you, Mark. I'm going to get my radiator flushed, you know, the whole cooling system.
Uh-huh.
And old-time mechanic on Earl Drive in Scottsdale.
Oh, he's a no-good shop. I'm telling you that right now.
I'll tell him that for you. All right. Anyways, he's going to do it manually. He doesn't have a machine to flush it. Is that okay? What do you think about that?
I'm with him. And I got to tell you why.
Yeah.
No matter what I give you to rinse your mouth out, I'm not going to really make any progress making anything but your breath smell better. I'm not going to eliminate cavities. I'm not going to get the plaque. I'm not going to do any of that. We know today that if it's plugged up, there's nothing we can do. All we got to do is rinse it out really, really good.
Uh-huh.
So I don't have a flush machine. I don't like flush machines. I don't sell flush machines. And especially this. Have you got any problem with it overheating?
No.
Well, then what are we fixing?
I don't know. It's only got 57,000 miles on it. It's been changed at 36.
Okay.
And it's very clear, and it never uses any fluid.
Yeah, I'd go into him, knowing who you're talking about, go into him and say, you know, Mark Salem says that you're ripping me off. Say, Mark Salem says you're ripping me off because I should change my coolant every 200,000 miles, and now you're asking me to do it twice in 60,000 miles. And tell him, say, here's his phone number. He said if you had any questions about his diagnosis of your attempted repair and fraud, to give him a call.
Well, I probably don't have to have it changed, but I thought I would because I'm going to go on a trip. Yeah. I hadn't been changed in 6 years.
Okay, now, what year is the car?
It's an 01 Oldsmobile. Okay. V6.
Is it got the orange coolant in it?
Yes, it does.
Okay, I like your way. First of all, the orange coolant goes to 100,000 miles, but I think it's absolutely crazy to think at, that it's going to go more than 5 years. So
right.
I tell folks, I don't want to see it 100. I want to see it 75.
Okay.
And I want to see it 75, and if you want, you can go on 60,000-mile changes instead of 100.
Yeah.
I'm going to deviate from what the manufacturer says because I'm seeing the after effects of intake gaskets and corrosion caused by keeping the coolant in there 100,000 miles.
I see.
And you tell that no good scoundrel to call me.
One last question.
I want to tell you something. Do you know how good of a golfer he is? He's
no.
a scratch golfer.
Oh.
He's a scratch. He won't tell you that, but he's a scratch. And he, if he ever asks you to play golf, say no, or have him spot you like, how many holes?
I have
18
no
holes?
Idea. Okay.
Have him spot you 18 strokes or maybe 36 strokes and you might beat him.
Oh, that's well,
one last
that's
question.
Okay.
Should I have the radiator cap changed just for the heck of it or what?
Well, here's the answer is you say to him, you're going to check the radiator cap for me, right? Yes.
Yeah.
We have a machine, and we look at the cap, and it says 15 pounds of pressure. We attach this air pump to it. Now, as I pump it up, when I get to 15 and I try to go to 16, the cap will go like this. Psss. But it'll hold 15.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to set it down while I'm flushing your car, and I'm going to have it at 15. And when I come back to it 20, 30 minutes later, it better be at 15. If that's the case, I'm not changing it. But if you want a new cap, they're about $6 to $10 telling me you want a new cap.
I might as well get one.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
yeah.
so. You know, last week, or I think it was, we had one that we did that on, mm-hmm. and it didn't work, actually. We had to end up, he came back, and we had to actually change the radiator cap because it showed that it was good, but yet when we got it on the car, it didn't work. I don't know
okay.
why that was.
And sometimes yep. what happens is the neck has to match the gasket.
Right.
And the gasket gets moved. There might be a bump in the neck, and you turn around. We should have looked at the seal in the neck radiator neck. And where was I during that period of time?
I have no
the
idea.
Cap oh. hasn't been off in years.
Okay. All right. Well, again, you're right. That happens every once in a while when you don't put a cap on. And here's what if the cap is bad,
yep.
it's going to pass coolant and overflow the jug, and that's when the cap won't hold the specified pressure.
Right.
If you don't have that, then you don't have a problem.
Okay, well, thank you for your help.
You're welcome, Joe.
And
you're welcome.
Don't you think, Mark, in Arizona, I mean, we have to go to the extremes because of all of our heat and the rubber and that kind of stuff. So,
you know, I don't know, though, because it's true that we think that we're the worst, but we're not Death Valley, and we're not South Africa, and we're not, you know, we're not South America in some places. There's other dirtier, dustier places.
Oh, I agree,
but this is pretty bad. But I'm still on the symptom issue. You know what I mean? What am I fixing?
I know.
You know, what do you do best?
But don't you? I'm going to change the subject. Boss you.
Go ahead.
Or try to boss you. No, but I mean for the time frame, too.
Well, he did say 6 years.
Yeah, that was a long time.
And he only had 50-some-odd thousand miles on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then he said, I'm going to go ahead and have change it. Well, he understands that he's going to spend $6 to $10, and he's going to get what he wants. If it puts him in the comfort zone for $10, then I agreed with him. I said, yeah. And this is the last time you're going to be on the show. I can tell you that right now. Because if you're going to argue with me, then you're arguing with the car guy. Do you understand that?
I have to keep you on point.
Okay.
Yeah.
This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Phoenix Body Works. My buddy, Greg May, is the owner. He's going to be your advocate if you have an insurance claim. Phoenix Body Work is hassle-free, insurance company friendly. They know how to work with your insurance company. They are not going to immediately become aggressive with your insurance company. That's just not the way to do it. Greg's going to make sure your car is put back together the right time, the right way, at an affordable price, and he's going to insist on using quality parts. It's important to know that you can pick the shop. It's also important to know that they're going to repair your vehicle to its pre-accident condition. Otherwise, you say, put me back the way you found me. That's the magic words. I've been recommending Phoenix Body Works for years and years and years, and I've heard nothing but excellent things from his customers. He serves Anthem, New River, and North Phoenix. If he's located at 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and Saturday, 9 to noon. Phoenix Body Works. Greg's an honest guy. But sometimes a very small insurance company from Reno, Nevada, and I'm making up this, will call and say, I don't want you to put that $1,200 compressor on. I'm going to send you one in a plain white wrapper, and I want you to install it. And Greg's going to say, no. The one I took off is from Lexus. I'm going to put the Lexus one back on. Or, in the case of a Chevrolet, he says, no, I'm going to put a Moog on or a TRW part on. Or I'm going to use this fender or this window regulator. I'm not going to use something that's cheap and isn't proud enough to put their name on the box. He's a good guy for that. So he's going to be your advocate. He's going to make sure that everybody, his staff included, does what they're supposed to do. Okay, what are we doing on Wednesday? She just told me this.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm going to take you to learn the two-step.
Jack is next.
The two-step what?
Two-step dance. Country
it's,
dance.
It's
I
a
have
country
no
dance?
Idea.
Where are we going?
Yeah. Handlebar Jays.
Handlebar Jays in Scottsdale, Wednesday
yep.
night.
6:30, 6:45, I believe.
And we're going to be there, and we're going to learn the two-step. And,
yeah.
And the idea behind that is for what?
I don't know. So maybe I won't try to lead you when we're dancing.
Oh, folks, we've been married 40 years, and she just can't possibly – I can't lead her to dance. She wants to lead. It is. You know, this is all we're going to do is fight the next day.
Yeah, we might.
And
oh,
that
well.
Night. All right, if you want to meet us at Handlebar Jays, and this is a free paid announcement. Free. He's not paid nothing. Handlebar Jays, Wednesday night, 6:30. We're going to be there. I'm going to be the guy that has a black baseball hat on. You'll know that.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear my pink shirt.
Oh.
Then
fine.
They'll find me easy.
They'll find you.
Pink shirt, black hat, Handlebar Jays Wednesday, and we're gonna learn how, they're going to have a class that learns
right.
how to do the two-step.
Yeah, I think it's like $5. I don't even know.
You know what? They probably won't charge you because you already know how to do everything.
Oh, very funny. All right, Jack, you're up next. What can we help you with?
Jack, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I was reading the tips to summer-proof your vehicle in the paper, and I've seen that, but I got two questions.
Okay.
I got an old Chrysler Sebring convertible that I only use 4 months out of the year, and then I store it the rest of the time.
Okay.
And as you know, the battery is down in the wheel well.
It is.
Can't get at it. And the extension, of course, of the negative is up on top.
Right.
If I disconnect the negative up on top, am I doing the same thing that you're talking about here?
Yes. Yes. That's a great thing. I'll tell you something else that you can do that's even better.
Yeah.
Camping World makes a battery switch. And you take the bolt where the cable goes to the engine. As long as you pull the negative cable and nothing works on the car, you're home free.
Yeah.
But there could be some other negatives, like a frame negative that goes to the battery terminal. But that circuit will still be live because you've
right.
only disconnected the engine. But if
right.
you do that. Now, another thing is they make a knife blade attachment that you can install on your battery in the compartment where you just reach down and open the knife blade up and you don't have to use tools or anything. So whatever works for you. But I need you to go to the battery, and if you only have one cable that comes off the battery, it's a big one, as big as your little finger, and it heads out, then yes, you're going to be able to do it on the other end. However, if you've got one big one and three little black ones, it probably won't work if you just disconnect the one on the engine.
Well, here's my other option.
Okay.
I think at one point in time I read your article and you said get a trickle charger, one of these on and off trickle chargers.
Yep.
Would that be just as good a solution rather than trying to disconnect something?
It's called a battery tender, and they're sold for less than $10 at Harbor Freight, which I shop a lot at. And Renee goes to Nordstrom's, I go to Harbor Freight. And and I have one on my motorcycle. And and so what I did, this is what I did. I took the positive and negative, and I moved them into a 110 male plug. Does that make any sense to you? I bought it at Home Depot, and I took the positive and negative, and I took them to a male plug. And then I put a female on it so it's insulated, and I set it down in the corner. When I park my motorcycle, I pick it up, I unplug it, and I plug it into the tender, who also has a female plug. Chick! And I don't have to mess with it. So any kind of a quick connection between the tender and your vehicle that's insulated. Now, you notice on a male plug, I got two metal tangs hanging out, right? If they hit something, I got a fire going. That's why I put a female on there to insulate it so that those two tanks can't hit anything. But I unplug the female, which is just an empty plug, and I grab the female that's on the tender, plug them in, walk away, and I always have power. So a battery tender wired up that way, it will work just fine.
Well, you're saying that here's what I did. I bought a $30 trickle charger that turns on and off at the auto store.
Okay.
And are you saying that if I leave that on for 6 months, it's kind of dangerous?
I'm saying that I want to be able to, that thing to drop down to 1 or 2 amps. And if the minimum is 5 or more, I probably, well, you could try it. And here's what you're going to do. I want you to pack all around the battery, but not the top. I just want you to take an old towel and go all the way around the battery. If you come back after a month, or you can do it right now, just put it If the top of the battery is wet, we're boiling it, and that's bad. If the top of the battery is dry, perfect.
You mean the trickle charger is giving it too much juice, huh?
It could. It could. A trickle charger, a battery tender, is designed to just feed 1 or 2 or 3 amps and is steady. And it also says, well, when the battery reaches here, I'll shut off. A trickle charger is just the minimum, might be a little too high.
Yeah. Does it explode then? Is that what the danger is?
No. I mean, if there's no spark, there's no explosion.
How does it catch a fire then? How does it catch a fire?
Oh, no, no, no. What I was saying is figure that I've got, picture in your head, I've got a male plug with two metal prongs that plugs into the wall, you know?
Yeah.
If it falls down and hits metal, if the negative hits metal, it's okay. But if the positive hits metal, I got a fire. So I just put a female plug on there. Now after I've thought about this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the female on my motorcycle, and I'm going to put the male on the tender. And that way, when I unplug the tender, I don't care what happens to that male. So I plug in the tender, and then I plug my motorcycle in, and boom, I'm done.
Okay.
So what part of town do you live in?
What part? I live in Chandler.
Okay. If you need any help with that, give Camping World a call and just talk to them, because I'm sure they got some kind of a disconnect that would make it easier for you to accomplish your goal.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Jack.
Thank you.
You betcha. All right. You got anything else to say? Did I do that okay?
Yeah. I just, you got off on, I wasn't sure where you went with that quick switch, and then you stopped on that, but.
Well, the motorhome. Remember the motorhomes? We have a quick disconnect.
Yeah. So would that work too?
Yeah. But here's the deal. If he has four cables coming off the negative, he's going to disconnect one.
Right.
Well, we need to ground the engine that sits in rubber engine mounts. We need to ground the frame. We need to crown the body, and we need to crown the rear rear taillights and the front taillight or the front headlights. We're going to have grounds to all of those. If he just pulls the ground off of the motor, he's only disabled the starter.
Right.
But all the courtesy lights will work.
Right.
That's my concern.
Okay.
So, but what he's saying is you remember the Corvette we had 150 years ago?
Right.
The battery was behind the driver's seat in a box.
Oh, yeah.
It's very difficult to get in there, especially when you get older, and take one of the cables off.
Right.
So we're trying to mix and match.
So can you still use one of those switches?
The knife blade at the battery.
At the battery.
At the battery. He can use a switch knife at the battery, and that'll work.
Okay.
All righty. My email is mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com. You can email me anytime you want, and I will personally answer. I don't have a staff to answer. Please wear your seatbelt. Please drive safely. Please don't drink and drive. And if somebody does something nice, give them a wave. Say thanks.